I invite you to turn with me then to Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to read there verses 19 through 23, page 1808 in your pew Bibles, Colossians chapter 1. So we're talking about Jesus Christ, who is the preeminent one, or the supreme one in creation. And then we have seen him also then as the preeminent one in the church and the redemption of the church. And now we're going to see his place in the redemption and restoration of all things. Verse 19 of chapter 1, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the cross or through the blood of the cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there is a song that goes, precious Lord, take my hand, I'm tired, I am weak, and I am worn. And that the Lord takes us home, and he calls us by our name, and he says, come. In John chapter 10, we read about Jesus who said, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice. And as you see the elements of the table, the wine, the bread, you hear the word of the Lord. So we bring our prayers to Almighty God. As you hear the word, bless the Lord, O my soul. Do you hear the voice of Jesus this morning? Please, hear the voice of Jesus this morning. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. And he says that there are sheep from another flock that my Father will give to me, and none that my Father will give to me I will lose, for none can be snatched from my Father's hand, for I and the Father are one. Come, sinner. Come. Come in repentance. Come in faith. Come in faith in the gospel. Do not lose the hope that is within you. But also, please don't come in cockiness. Don't come in laziness. Please don't come in arrogance this morning either. Come and find out what pleases the Lord, what the Lord has done, so that you can come. Come in the humility and understanding of what it took to get you to be reconciled to Almighty God. We talk a lot about redemption, to be sure. But we need to talk also about reconciliation. That we have been brought back to God, that peace has been made between God and us, and that he is restoring us so that we will no longer live lives that keep alienating God, that keep pushing him away. Come and hear the voice of Jesus, who will talk to you this morning about your sin and your salvation and your service, that you may bless the Lord and all that is within you. Bless his holy name. For Christ is the preeminent one for the redemption of God's people. First of all, we will see how that has happened from God to man, and then how God has brought man to God. Look at what Paul writes to the Colossians, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. There are things here that pleases the Father. And there's a number of them, and we need to go through them. It pleases the Father that in Jesus, the Son of Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, who was made man, who suffered for us under Pontius Pilate, in him the fullness of God remains. See, they had it before. They had it in the covenant, but we were weak and we couldn't keep it, and we kept breaking it, and then we kept losing it. And then God came to us with the tabernacle, but it was mobile, and it was old, and it deteriorated. And then that gave way to the temple. But all of that was Emmanuel, God with us. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. It pleased the Father that the Son of God, who is with the Spirit and the Father, true God, that's what we believe, We confess the Trinity. We were not going to give it up to any other religion, to any other idolatry. We are not going to make an idol of Almighty God. He is Father. He is Son. He is Holy Spirit. And it pleased the Father that God the Son would take on human flesh, and that everything that is true about God is true about Him. And we've seen that together. That all things are made by Him and through Him. Or as John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And then he goes on to write, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, in Psalm 103, God revealed Himself through Moses, but in John chapter 1 we read, what was revealed through Moses has now been completely, fully, beautifully revealed in the Son of God. God made flesh. God who dwells among us. God the Son who took on human flesh to reconcile all things to Himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Think about that. The Son of God came as a human being to die on a cross, to shed blood. Now remember what we've been talking about, and for those who are visiting, we've been talking about the Colossian church. Either there is a heresy there, or they're in danger of a heresy grabbing hold of them, that it's not Christ alone, that there's angels, and there's a new way of living, and there's ceremonies, and the blood. It's always Christ and, Christ plus, Christ and this. And Paul is saying, no, God never came in fullness in an angel. And no angel ever died on the cross for you. And it's not the blood of bulls and lambs and goats or the blood of circumcision, which he's going to talk about later in the letter. That blood doesn't save you. That blood doesn't make peace to God. It points to the blood of Jesus Christ in the same way that that wine you're going to drink or that grape juice you're going to drink points back to the blood of Jesus Christ. See, you and I were at enmity. We were at odds. God was angry with us. God was going to condemn us. Ephesians chapter 2, you and I were born children of wrath. But you He made alive again. You He saved. And how did He do that? It pleased the Father to send His Son to take on human flesh, to die on the cross, that He would be forsaken, that you might be restored, reconciled as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed your sins and my sins from the sight of Almighty God. Do you hear the voice of Jesus, beloved? Because you can't come to the table of the Lord reconciled by anything you have done. You can't come to the table so I'm at peace with God because I come to the table or because I believe. The faith is we can come to the table because of what God has done. Because what Jesus has done, He said, I laid down my life for my sheep, and you will proclaim my death until I come again. Precious Lord, take my hand. I'm tired, and I'm weak, and I'm worn, and I'm suffering, and I hate it that my sin keeps driving you away from me, and yet you keep coming back, and you keep coming back, and Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you rest. Come to me. And find peace for your souls, not just for you, beloved, but for everything. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Romans chapter 8, the whole creation is groaning as a woman in travail, waiting for the sons of God, the men and the women of Christ, to be revealed in that last day, when everything will be joined together, and then all the pollution, all the drought, all the brokenness, all the war, all the death, all the brutal things that animals do to one another, all of that will be a thing of the past. God will reconcile the world through the reconciliation of His people. He died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross for that. You proclaim the Lord's death till He come. He's coming. And He's coming again to renew the heavens and the earth, to destroy this world by fire. Then all things will be made anew, and behold, we'll see the new Jerusalem coming down like a bride adorned for her husband in the new heavens and the new earth, where there will be no sun, and there will be no temple, for God will live with man and God living in harmony, the man and the angels. By the way, did you ever think about that the angels were our enemies? until we came to faith, until Christ died for us, then the angels and man in Christ are joined back together again. And yet there's still that enmity between the fallen angels, the demons, Satan himself and this broken world. But in time, soon and very soon, it will all be done and we will live in peace. Yes, we were once alienated. And notice that he says, in your mind, in the way that you thought, in the way that we live our lives and we see the world, and we see it. And I can go and list all the terrible things in the world right now, all the confusion about simple things, about who we are, about what's male, what's female, what's marriage, what's the environment. The sky is falling, the sky is falling. And the government's going to save us, and on it goes. Well, we know, but what about us? Because even if you say, but I've been saved since I'm a little child, you still know the thinking that clings to us. See, I want to be the one in whom the fullness of God dwells. I want to be the divine one. I want to be God. That was the lie that got us in the first place, that we grabbed onto that hook and hook, line, and sinker. We sank down, and then we're brought into the boat of Satan, waiting for the club of the fishermen to knock us dead while we flip and flop and make all kinds of noise, suffocating, dying in our sin. And then God comes, and then love comes to town, and Jesus Christ comes and grabs a hold of us. We were once alienated. Come to the table, because you're not alienated anymore. Peace has been made, because that's what God does. That's how God comes to man. He has destroyed all of that wickedness, reconciled in the body of his flesh through his death to present you holy and blameless above reproach in his sight. So you've been redeemed. We're no longer slaves to sin. You've been redeemed. We're no longer flipping, flopping around, dying in the boat. We've been reconciled and restored to Almighty God, but now we're being restored to a new holiness. God does that too. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to save you, so go on being a sinner. Nor did he say, I'm going to save you and let's see what you can do about it. He says, I am going to save you and make you something new in Christ. You're joined to Christ, baptized into Christ, eat of his body, and it will become real in you. Drink of his blood, it will become true to you. Are you tired and weary and weak? Sick and tired of your sinning, then run and hear the voice of Jesus and says, I am this dark world's light. And I will send the counselor. And he will come to you, John 14, 15, and 16, and he will teach you all things. And because he's come into the world, he's condemned the world. Why? Because he has brought you to a new holiness. Because that's what the covenant is about. He makes his covenant known to all his people, to his children and children, and all those who keep his covenant. Lord God, I can't keep the covenant. He says, I know, that's why I will make a new covenant in those days. And I will put my spirit and I will put my law upon your heart so that you can be holy as I am holy, and I'll remember your sins no more. Come, sinner, come. Hear the voice of God this morning. And hear the voice of Jesus. Because, beloved, now you need to come to him. Notice that it says that he will present you holy and blameless above reproach. It doesn't say you have to do that. It does say you have to do this. Continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, became a minister. You know, one of the most powerful things about the gospel, I don't think we think about it all that. But the most powerful thing about the gospel is its confrontation of every other idol. Allah can't save you. Hinduism and karma, and all this, it ain't going to save you. The monotheistic God of Orthodox Judaism is not going to save you. Works righteousness is not going to save you. The Zion United Reformed Church cannot save you. The man up front can't save you. Your husband can't, your wife can't, your parents can't. What do you believe? Hear the voice of Jesus. And believe in the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hold on to that faith. Enough now with this, oh, I'm so unholy. I'm so broken. I'm so dirty. And I'm so forlorn that God could never love me. That's why he sent his son. That's exactly the point. You are all of those things until love takes you in. And love grabs you. And you can say, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my hope, my strength, my shield. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all His benefits. Forget not the good news. Forget not that God saves sinners, of whom we are. I am the chief. God saves sinners, and that's a big relief. If I say I'm not a sinner, then I'm in trouble. But God saves sinners. And that is a big relief. Hold on to that hope. That's why I said at the beginning, you can come two ways to the table. You can come now in an arrogance. Well, I'm saved. I'm baptized. I'm a member of the church. I live a pretty good life. I believe all the stuff in the Apostles' Creed. I believe all the things of the sin salvation service of the Heidelberg Catechism. Stop. And then don't come. Please don't come that way. Run away. Because it will condemn you. Come only because you believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come on your hands and knees. Come with your hands open. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. But do not come in arrogance. But do not come in a prideful humility that says, I'm so bad either. Come now in a righteous humility that says, Lord God, I believe you have saved me. That you are my all in all. Because everything resides in you, Jesus. The fullness of God resides in you, Jesus. And then if I am joined to you, as you prayed in John 17, Jesus, make them one, Father, as we are one. That we together as the people of God may show our communion with unity. That we are one in the Spirit, one in the Lord, one faith, one baptism, but one Jesus Christ is all we need. Come in faith. Come in faithfulness. And hear the voice of Jesus now. He says, come to the table. I gently call you. Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take and eat. Take and drink. Remember and believe that the blood and the body of our Lord was given and shed unto a complete remission of all his sins. And let's proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And bless the Lord with all of our souls. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you. And we ask now, Lord, that you would bless us and that you would hold us close. And Father, if there are any here who are wavering, struggling, suffering, or if there are any of us who are too cocky and arrogant, work now. And humble us, lay us low, but give us faith and hope in the marvel that the work has been accomplished. In Jesus' name, in whose name we pray.